Good morning, and welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. We're glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the program once again the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name he always says that, see. And I always say, no, there's nothing reticent about him. Doyle Moore is the man's name. He's been doing the show with us for a long time on the first Wednesday, and we always have a good time talking about food, picking some subject to at least start with, and sometimes we wander off into interesting side streets, but something that we start with can be sometimes a particular dish, a way of cooking things, could be a key ingredient, something like that. And we just toss it around and talk about it and change recipes and tell stories. And sometimes people do indeed tell us stories about family and special occasions and traditions, because there's always these associations between food and those things. And we always have a good time. So, this time around, and this is a little complicated. Hang with me here while I try to explain it. It turned out, I think we were both kind of thinking about the same thing. We were thinking about the fact that, well, we're in a transitional time here. We're in spring. Sometimes it feels like it's still late winter, but we're in spring. And so, throughout the winter here, we've been doing winter kind of things in the kitchen. We've been roasting and baking and braising, and it's okay to crank the oven up to 450 degrees for a while. That's fine. It's all those kinds of things that in August, when it's really hot and humid, you think, boy, I'd really like to do that. Well, now we're getting to the time where we're moving out of that, and I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking, I'm looking for something different, a new kind of taste, something that is more fresh and more direct, not something that's going to cook for 2 hours. Something that I can put together fairly quickly. Maybe it's something that you make just using the top of the stove. You're not even going to turn the oven on. And so that's what we're looking for, something that's maybe spring-like, or at least that you start thinking about when you get in this time of year. We're not quite lucky enough yet to have the farmer's market, so you know, we don't quite have the fresh stuff that we would like.
No, but we can think about it.
But we can think about it. So that's the idea here. As always, we'd like to hear from people who are listening. Maybe you have a recipe you'd like to share with us. That would be wonderful. All you have to do is give us a call. And the number is 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. That one's 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you give us a call. So now, after all of that labored introduction, was there something in particular that you were thinking about?
Yes, and I'm not exactly certain where it came from, other than just this passion of, oh, I would like a nice fresh taste, and I don't want to work at it. I had just finished a dinner party where I'd cooked for 4 days. and I sort of think, well, maybe it needs to be easier than this. And what comes to mind, and I think it comes to other people's minds too. I'm always amused that I sit around and worry at what we're going to talk about on the show, and all of a sudden some inspiration comes. I know it's zeitgeist. It's whatever is whirling around. And then what's amusing is it just before I get to come here, my magazines show up. And lo and behold, they're all full of everything that we're going to talk about. And I keep laughing sometimes that I'm a month ahead, and sometimes right on. And it amuses me that things work in these cycles, and that our thoughts are very similar. Somehow I wanted something with I just love those little grape tomatoes.
Yes.
I love them.
Yes.
And they're only a couple of years old as far as getting them here. And they're so exotic. And it's that exotic character that I wanted to sort of emphasize. So some of the things would suit using tomatoes. I like salads or I like specific salads. I like the Greek salad very much. That is a very fresh taste, mm-hmm. and took me years and years and years to learn how to do it. But I can finally make a reasonable Greek salad, and I like those tastes that are fresh, immediate. Mostly, I was thinking of something. I don't want to even worry about cooking, you know. But at the same time, you can't have everything just as everything can't be a salad. So I kind of leaned back onto something that we make a lot of. There's a lot of fussing about pestos, and I realized that there was a time when we didn't really deal or know, and it has become very, very significant in a lot of cooking. And then I found then that there were a lot of sources for pesto tastes and such. And I believe I like those best because they sort of fit this idea of something fresh and something immediate and something quickly put together, but extremely wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it's a fabulous, rich taste. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're – I guess I'm thinking of the traditional one that's made with basil.
Yes.
So you've got basil, Reggiano, Parmesan cheese, olive oil, garlic, and maybe some sort of nut component.
Pine nuts.
Pignoli.
Pine nuts first. Yeah.
I guess maybe there might be some people who might not like the taste of basil. Maybe it would be too strong for them. But it is a rich thing. It has this sort of green note to it.
Yes.
And it is a very – if you can get good fresh basil, to me it's a very summery taste. It says something about, yeah, this is – it's summer. It's warm. Things are growing. Things are green. And that embodies that kind of spirit, I think. And you can buy it in a jar, and so you could have it in January if you wanted. But I know you don't. I know how you feel about that.
No, I don't. I can bring myself to not buy prepared pesto, and if by chance either someone gives me some or I have it, it just goes in the ice box and I forget about it. I don't want that taste. I love it. When it's growing, then I'll eat it. I grow basil, and I like it very much. And when it freezes, that's the end of it. And so you sort of put all that away and kind of lick your lips and say, well, it'll be coming again one of these days. But I guess I'm kind of a snob with that. I don't like it at other times, and I don't like it prepared. But you can always change. I'm not that way about strawberries. Ooh, I'll have strawberries 24 hours a day. And I know that's against exactly what I'm just saying about things that are seasonal and we make sense of them. But so I thought maybe some things that – and I'll tell you another bit. I believe when pesto was introduced to this country, which, by the way, was 1946, you could buy a can of pesto. I do not remember that. Strangely enough, it was something I read in the last 2 days, this article about the introduction of pesto to America. And then the first recipe that was published in America was 1949. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I said, well, that's the classic recipe. And it hasn't really changed except I have noticed that a lot of people are shifting and putting other things in pesto, which I approve of because, you know, you're developing this to your own taste. There's one that even only has parsley. However... You better. It's flat-leafed Italian parsley, which is another, you know, another great thing that has come to us. You never – all your life, parsley was something you either chewed to keep your breath. Remember when chlorophyll pills came out and they said, well, you know, if you would just eat the parsley on your plate that you get, that would take as – so – I think that we're a very funny place.
Well, that's a great understatement.
So you never know where the influences come from. But anyway, those were the thoughts in my mind. And I had two or three recipes and a favorite thought or two.
Okay. Well, questions are welcome. 333-9455. That's for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Questions, comments, recipes, stories. It's our monthly show on cooking with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And here, as we have explained it, we're looking for it's spring. We're looking for something that's going to be different from the tastes that we enjoy over the wintertime, different from the way we cook in the wintertime, something that is quicker, maybe simpler, more straightforward, a little bit more direct, not something that's going to cook for 3 hours, but something you can kind of do very quickly and get to the table quickly and enjoy that. And what are the things that you can do like that? Pasta is probably going to be one of the things.
Pasta is a real treat. And again, that's something that pasta isn't just spaghetti anymore.
He laughs. And do you have a favorite form?
Yes, I like making my own, and actually, it took me a long time to realize that the noodles that my mother made was just pasta. You know, I thought they were Pennsylvania Dutch egg noodles, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That was a very special thing. And then when I began to learn about pastas, I realized, well, this was all that it was. So sometimes out of deference to that, I will hand cut some pasta, yeah, that really end up being like mother's noodles.
My mother and my grandmother both made those kind of noodles. They were thick. They were a little on the doughy side.
A little
side,
doughy.
They would roll them out by hand, roll them out in a sheet, and then hand cut them. So they were kind of rough, but that's the kind of thing that certainly when I was a kid, we ate boxed spaghetti. But in terms of a homemade thing.
You never
thing,
related that, the two.
Yeah, no. They were no.
No, they were
no,
two
they were
totally
two,
different
two
things.
Different things.
It surprised me when I come to find out they're the same.
Hmm. All right. We suddenly find ourselves with several callers.
Great.
Let's talk with them. And we'll start with, we have a couple people here in Urbana. We'll start with someone here, line number one. Hello.
Hi. You've talked about gazpacho before.
Yes.
And I remember that somebody thought it was Southwestern, and I was thinking then that it was from Spain.
It's Spain, yes.
And I have a couple recipes for types of gazpacho. I grew up in Spain that are not at all common in the U.S.
Oh.
But that fit your criteria.
Great.
And one of them is, I'm going to, my recipe is in grams, so I'm hoping I'm converting this right. One of them is called, they're both white gazpacho, so
white, yes,
they're lighter. And one is with grapes.
Oh.
And the recipe serves six. And you start with a pound of green grapes, with seedless grapes. And
green,
if you can
yes.
get the really fresh, crispy ones, it's by far best.
Mm-hmm.
And then three little cucumbers, solid cucumbers, with the peeled and seeded.
And then diced?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, or just sliced, because you're going to cuisinart this or blend it.
Oh, that's right. Sure.
A shallot.
One shallot, yes.
Mm-hmm. Also cut. And then one garlic clove.
Yes.
And it should be also very fresh. And then 2 cups of low-fat yogurt.
Oh, all right.
And mm-hmm. a little bit of salt and white pepper just to taste.
Okay, yogurt. Mm-hmm.
And then the easiest thing to do is do the grapes first and then strain it in a colander so that you lose the peel.
I see.
The
All
leftover
right.
peel. Mm-hmm. And then you can add everything else in and make sure that it's served very chilled. And if you get stuck making it at the last minute, a good trick for chilling it is to pop in a few ice cubes.
Ice cubes, yes.
So that's the way I do it, and then I just serve it with a really nice way to serve it. I like with mixing cultures with corn chips, potato tortilla chips.
Oh, all right, yes.
And then the other one is with almonds, which are a huge part of the diet in Spain. And you actually, it's called gazpacho blanco also, and it's you start with a pound of bread, but that's the closest is probably going to be probably the Italian, what do they call it? It's
panzanella?
Yeah, it's kind of it's a little bit flat, but it's got a little bit of crispiness to the crust.
Oh,
it's thicker
ciabatta.
Than a baguette.
Ciabatta bread.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. But you actually need the inside, not the crust.
Oh, uh-huh.
So you start with a pound of bread, 4 ounces of almonds, and they should be if you get already toasted almonds, make sure they're completely not flavored. They should be very, you know,
plain.
Yeah, plain almonds, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And peeled though.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Two tablespoons of very fresh virgin olive oil.
Okay.
2 cloves of garlic. And then 1 cup of sherry vinegar. And truly, truly use sherry vinegar. It makes mm-hmm. a huge difference. And 2 eggs.
2 cups of sherry vinegar and 2 eggs.
Right. And then you soak the bread a little bit, and when it's damp, you take out just...
Now, you're going to soak it in what?
Just a little bit of water.
Water, okay.
And you just take out... there's no word in English for inside of bread, but that's what you do. You take out the inside of the bread.
Yes.
And then you add that to the oil and the garlic and the vinegar and the eggs, beaten a little bit, the almonds and the salt to taste, and you put it through your Cuisinart.
Oh, yes. Okay, the blender, yes. Yeah.
A wonderful, wonderful way to do chopped vegetables or to season this with is with apples and fresh mint.
Oh, my. Oh, how peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that all of a sudden pushes it in another direction,
yeah.
Doesn't it? Apples and mint.
Right.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, they're both lovely, and they're summer staples.
And they're very summery.
Yeah.
Very summery.
I make them by the pitcher.
That sounds good. Absolutely, gazpacho is exactly the kind of thing we're thinking of, because it is fresh, and it is summery or springy.
Right.
You know, I celebrated today by leaving my gloves and hat at home. I felt so good walking out.
Isn't that
nice? I had them on. I said, no, I'm not going to show up with this today.
Yeah, perfect.
And it's exactly the kind of feeling that I'm thinking about these foods. And you have hit it right at the beginning. Thank
Excellent.
You very,
okay.
very much.
Thank you.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right. Well, thank you.
Almonds with mint and apples.
So this is just exactly the kind of stuff I know.
Exactly.
I'm looking for.
I mean,
right.
And it's very exciting. Yay.
And if you're madly trying to write these recipes down at home, and no need if that is provided that you have internet access, if you go to our website, will.illinois.edu, you can go to AM, click on AM, click on Focus 580, click on links, and there you will find a list of recipes from past programs. Now, currently, it is up to date as far as our last show
oh,
is
good.
Concerned.
Yeah.
So the recipes that we had, that was roasting vegetables, right?
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And so those are there, and it might take us a little bit of time. We have a volunteer who graciously now have for some time has been working on getting the recipes onto the website. So it might take a little bit for us to get today's on there, but
they get there.
Be patient, and they do get there. So that's one way to get them if you go to our website, and you can look at there are now recipes there going all the way back to I was just looking at it. I think 1999.
Yeah, I think there's several. Yeah, there's
so several years worth.
Several years worth, and we yes, and that wasn't the beginning.
No, that was it. Back in the dim and distant past.
Oh. Oh, the reason I was laughing when you said about our roast vegetables is that. And what came this month? 5 recipes for roast potatoes. And 2 of them were from India.
Very good.
Yeah. And it made me laugh because I said, well, That's exactly what it was. That's what I made the other night, too.
All right. Well, recipes here this morning are welcome. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455.
Not necessarily roasted vegetables. I don't believe I've ever run into a white gazpacho, and here are two of them. Gazpacho Blanco.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. To another Urbana person. This is line two. Hello.
Hi. I'd like to have some dandelion recipes. I have used dandelion leaves in salads.
Yes.
And I can even use them later on. Supposedly, they go bad when it gets too hot. But if you get some dandelions that are kind of volunteering in the middle of a flower bed.
That's right, and get them young, because it's when they get bitter when they grow older. Yes.
Well, but if they grow up in a flower bed, sometimes you get really long leaves, and actually I've tasted them. They seem to be perfectly good, but that's not what I'm after. I remember when I was little. There was my aunt, I think it was, or my grandmother, prepared I think it was a salad, or I'm not exactly sure what, but it had the crowns, you know, the root crowns of the dandelions. And I think it was done with probably, you know, bacon fat and milk dressing. Or something like that. I'm not really sure.
I can't place anything quite that specific. I know that we had greens from the garden.
Yeah.
Frequently, most of those were goose foot, lamb's quarters.
Yeah.
We had that a lot. I don't know that my mother ever cooked dandelion greens, but we always talked about it. And I have seen dandelion greens for sale here in town.
Yep, likewise.
And they're really long. They're almost a foot long.
Yeah.
I would probably just deal with them as a green and boil them. You know, and you're right. Bacon grease and all sort of something between a wilted or a sautéed green. But I can't think of anything that ever uses the root.
Well, I just wondered.
Somebody must know it, because that sounds like, I tell you what, that sounds very much like a very old time recipe that somebody would have brought to America. I do recall that in France, the women would go out and dig greens and then sell them on the streets, and so that kind of thing might well be a French or a Southern Italian taste. Somebody might know about that.
Well, I just toss it out.
That's good.
Right,
any ideas?
You.
I'm anxious to hear.
Yes, right. maybe we'll hear some this morning. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, again, here, just for grins, now I've got my web browser up, and I put in dandelion recipes and got a whole bunch of dandelion recipes. And it looks like a lot of them are salad kind of things, so they would be using the leaves. And just here for you, just now because we were talking about pesto, here's one for dandelion green fettuccine.
Oh, my.
Where they're actually using the greens to make the pasta like you would. Some people do with spinach, so you end up with green pasta. This recipe also says that it works well with other greens like beet greens, arugula, and chicory. It says it's so tasty it needs only butter and grated Asiago cheese. Well, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, it's make the dough as you would. It's eggs, flour, salt, and dandelion greens mixed into the dough. So you end up with something that's green. And I would think it might have a little bit of a bitter edge, but depending on what you put on there, that might work just fine.
That's
so
why I think the butter and Asiago really is going to add to that bitterness a little bit.
And there are other things. Here's dandelion with bacon dressing. Here's dandelion and sorrel salad with paprika stars. Here's dandelion flower fritters, dandelion greens and shiitake calzones.
flour fritters?
Dandelion flour fritters.
Flowers.
Yeah. So here's a recipe where you got
I know you make wine out of the flowers, but I never thought of using them as a fritter.
Dandelion flowers, clean and unsprayed. Yeah. And, well, there you go. So people, I have another caller here. I don't want to keep them waiting. But, yes, if you're looking for dandelion recipes, just go on the World Wide Web, see what you can find. Let's talk. We have someone here in Indiana, near, Brazil, Indiana, line three. Hello.
Hi. I love talking about food and I love eating it. I'm a teacher, so I'm really, really busy. And one of the things I love to do is to make a real simple meal and sit on the patio.
Oh, yes.
And I guess this is maybe more of a spring summery thing. My husband's really good at grilling, and so I'll buy some fish, salmon, and just making a salsa with mango and some cucumber, some cilantro, some pepper. You can make it as hot as you want, a little white onion, and a real just a little bit of a vinegar sugar sauce to add to the salsa. And then what I do is I make couscous. I just boil some water. You know, that takes almost no time. And I often will saute vegetables, just a little olive oil and some garlic, and pretty much whatever I have in the refrigerator. I love spinach, so we eat a lot of spinach.
Oh, yes.
And tomatoes in there. And I have a really wonderful meal in about maybe 15 minutes.
Isn't that a surprise?
You just feel so
smug that you've got all this done and it's really good and it's immediate and it's fresh.
Yeah, here's another. Like sometimes, you know, like I said, I'm a teacher, so I work long hours.
Yes.
And I have lots of other things I do. There is a really wonderful mango and peach salsa that works on great on fish, chicken, pretty much anything. It's Santa Barbara mango and peach salsa.
Hmm.
And I usually have a couple jars of this, and it is exquisite. So if I don't have much
time so it's a prepared salsa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's prepared. It's in a jar, and it's, you know,
Santa Barbara
mango and peach. And it's just, like I said, it's so easy. And, you know, after you've had a hard day of work, it's just great to sit on the patio with my wonderful husband, drink a little wine, and have a wonderful meal that took about 15 minutes to prepare. So that's what we love to do.
Well, that's exactly the feeling we're looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for it.
Me too. And I'm anxious. I was holding on the line for a little bit, and I'm anxious to get outside because, you know what, it's sunny out.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
You bet.
Well,
bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
We are a little bit past the midpoint here.
Oh, goodness.
It's the first Wednesday of the month and has been for a long time our great pleasure to talk about cooking with this man we like to call our official chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he's been here with us doing the show every month for a long time. We pick some particular topic and get excited about that and exchange stories and recipes, and it changes depending on what season it is and what we feel like and the kind of cooking, or maybe it's a particular dish. And we start there and sometimes end up in odd other places, but always have a good time telling stories and exchanging recipes. And this time around, he said, well, as we are now in a time when we are, sooner or later, the weather is going to turn warm. We're in spring and we're going to have spring and then we're going to have summer. And you want a different kind of cooking. You want different taste. You want a different experience. For the summertime, it really helps, you know, as the last caller said, everybody's busy, so it helps to have something that you can get on the table quickly, and you also want it to be good.
And, yeah, and most of all, I want taste that I haven't had in a while, that's the excitement.
Exactly so. So if you have that kind of recipe, why don't you share it with us? 333-9455, toll-free 800 222-9455. When exactly did this fruit salsas paired with fish happen? When did that happen?
Not long ago. Not long ago. In fact, we knew about salsas, but they were those hot pepper.
Pico de gallo.
Yeah, pico de gallo. Exactly, and that's about as far as you got. And all of a sudden, I believe it came in through the Caribbean.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
Because they start using mango and using other fruits and such things that go with them. And now, look, we've had three mango recipes this morning. And the idea that is a viable source of salsas, and I think it came in from the Caribbean or even Cuba.
Mm. Okay.
But it hasn't been very long. Mm. And I think I found a salsa book probably about 3 years ago that had all these elaborations in it, which I had never heard of, and they were kind of exciting. So,
yeah. Always looking for something new. I think that's
well,
it. There at least certain some people are always
the funny thing is we are finding it, and I think that American cooking is absolutely the ultimate of cooking because we push ourselves wider and wider and wider all the time instead of staying right in regional, you know. I like regional cooking. That's fine. But I find it very interesting that American cooks allow all of these influences to come flooding in, and they just absorb them and they become their own. And I think that American cooks are absolutely ultimate.
All right. Well, let's talk with another one here. We have a caller in Downs on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Hi. This is not salsa, but this is kind of a fresh transitional sort of dish.
Yes.
It was introduced to me as Thai noodle salad soup. I'm not sure it has anything to do with Thailand. But it is a soup where you put in traditional salad
kind
of ingredients.
Oh, yes.
With Asian noodles.
Which noodles? The cellophane noodles or
really
the clear
matter.
Ones? Or
I usually use egg noodles, and in a pinch I'll even do this with ramen.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But there's no reason why it couldn't be done with cellophane noodles.
Sure.
Or bean threads. For each serving, you need a half a cup of cooked noodles.
Yes.
Some chopped tomato. Some shredded lettuce. Cooked meat if you want it, and that could be anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Some sliced cucumber, sprouts.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Green onion.
Mm-hmm.
Some vinegar. A little sugar.
Vinegar and sugar, yes.
A little bit of minced cilantro or basil.
All right.
A dash of chopped ginger.
Oh, okay.
Some hot broth.
Hot broth.
Usually what I use is chicken broth.
Chicken broth, uh-huh.
And when I start getting the ingredients ready, I will open some cans of low-sodium chicken broth and throw in a little piece of ginger and some green onions, maybe just the tops, and simmer that. Just to flavor it.
That sounds good. I'm thinking of some Hunan sauces that are very much like you. The stuff that you have listed here is very much like a Hunan style of hot sour. What's it called? Hot spicy vinegar that you put on salads. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you just mix the ingredients in individual bowls and pour the hot broth over. And people can add soy sauce,
sauce.
Sometimes I even leave the vinegar out and let people put that in themselves.
That sounds like a very, very direct, very fast
little
accomplishment. And it becomes your own mixture. That's very good.
I used to do it when we had kids at home.
Oh, sure.
And then they could put in what they wanted.
Sure. Or leave out what they
right.
didn't want.
Exactly.
Yes.
But it's really a nice sort of light soup. You can also do it with leftover dressed salad. This is the only thing I know to do with leftover dressed salad.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because it's going to wilt anyway.
It's going to do that. Yeah.
And you can add other vegetables if you want. You know, it's very much a blank slate here.
That sounds like a pretty wise way of taking care of things like that.
It's also
clean out the refrigerator too. That's
and
good.
My mother and father used to be in a group that did soups in the winter and salads in the summer.
Oh yes.
And this was their transitional.
I was just going to say, what they do right in the middle. Yes, exactly. Oh, that's good.
So
that's
good. You know, you can see what you can do whatever you want to with it.
Well, this is a new direction. I like that very much.
But it's an interesting concept.
Yes, indeed, it is. Well, thank you very much.
Enjoy the spring if it ever comes.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Yes, the joy.
Well, sooner or later. We may only get 2 days, but it'll come. Yeah. Thank you very much. We have about 10 minutes left.
Goodness.
13 minutes left in this part of Focus. It's our monthly cooking show, and if you have a recipe to share or you just want to call and say hi, yeah, you know, that's fine. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. Would you like to do a recipe?
I'm very fond of Jamie Oliver, and of course his things are so rustic and marvelous. I like them, and the one that caught my eye when I was looking for something to discuss is smashed cherry tomatoes and squashed tomatoes and smashed olives. I mean that comes close to a lot of other directions the way you make certain things, but with the olives smashed and the pits taken out, and then you squash the tomatoes, then that releases the juices. You put all those things together with a nice vinaigrette, and then start adding things like maybe some arugula if you want that, or some basil if you want that, and then the funny thing about his recipe. That's all put together, and the smoky taste of the olives goes with the tomatoes, which is really an interesting combination. And again, we haven't been able to get Mediterranean olives. You know, there was a time when if they weren't those dreadful black things from California, you didn't have them. That or leftover or a tiny jar that you used for martinis.
For martinis, yeah, exactly.
And that was the only salad, the only olives that we have. We have these wonderful Kalamatas that, and then to squash those up with the tomatoes, and then put in fresh greens or whatever it was, and then. To my thought, he says, P.S., if you have any leftovers, then toss them in on hot spaghetti. Mm-hmm. So he's using a salad I've used the salad, and as the last caller said, what do you do with a limp leftover salad or something? He says, toss it on hot spaghetti.
Huh. Well, that sort of reminds me a little bit. There was a pasta salad that in our house we made a lot last summer. We discovered this recipe, and we liked it a lot and ate it a lot when we could go to the farmer's market and get the tomatoes. This is the catch.
That is.
And what you want to do is you'd want to go there and get a variety of tomatoes. It's nice to get different colors. That makes it prettier. And also because the different tomatoes, they're all different. I mean, they have different characteristics and a little bit different flavor. And it's very simple. It takes a little time because, first of all, what you do is you start and you chop up some fresh basil and garlic and put that into some olive oil and put it in a big bowl and just let it sit.
Oh, yes.
So that the oil picks up the flavor of the garlic and basil. And so for just several, just put that, right in the morning, you put that together, you go away and you do what you're going to do and let it sit for several hours. Then you get your tomatoes, your fresh tomatoes, and you just cut them up into chunks and dump them in there and kind of stir it all up and let it sit again for an hour at least. And then when you're ready to serve it, you cook some pasta, and we usually use rigatoni, one of the bigger tube-sized pastas.
Oh, yes, yes.
So cook the pasta and then toss it with this sauce that's just basically oil, garlic, basil, and the tomatoes and some fresh mozzarella, and just cut it up in chunks and toss that in there. Toss that all together so everything gets all mixed up and you put it on a plate. And believe me, it's very good. We had a lot. My wife liked a lot. We joked because when we got to the end of the summer, I'd ask her what she'd want for dinner, and she said she'd want that pasta. I said, what, again?
Again.
That pasta again? But we ate a lot of it. But the key is that you can't, unless you can get really good tomatoes, you can't. You really can't do it. So we're waiting. I don't know. Maybe July before we can make this, but we're waiting because we want to be able to have that again.
I think that combination is very exciting. There is a recipe. I lost it. I don't know where it is. Maybe somebody will find it for me. I know where it should be. When Martha Stewart put out that little food, everyday food, it's just that little tiny
the one
magazine.
That they have right by the cash register at the grocery store.
I think they may have it there. Anyway, in the very first issue was a pasta recipe which had ever so little sausage. And then the grape tomatoes that you cut, and they were hardly even warmed up. It was a sauce that was just bam, 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 and it was all done. And that was so good. I made that one night as a surprise, and of course my surprise was everyone liked it. And then I promptly lost the recipe, and I looked all day before yesterday. I thought perfect thought, because it is quickly done and very immediate and very tasty, but I can't find it. But I do know it is in the very first issue of that magazine. Mm. I have from number 27 to number 62, but I don't have number one anymore. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, Martha, if you're listening, you
help
can call
us out.
Let's talk with someone here in Urbana. Line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I'm Joyce, and I actually have a rice, like a quick, like sushi rice recipe.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, and it's all you really need is the nori sheets and sticky rice and the rice vinegar, the seasoned rice vinegar.
Oh, yes.
And those are the three key ingredients, and you can always get them at Amco.
Right.
And then what you do is you just make some rice, and I toast sunflower seeds, but you can have toasted walnuts or some tofu or any kind of little meaty thing.
Yes.
And grate some carrots and cut some cabbage.
Carrots,
and
yes.
And then I set, like, the rice and those things out with the rice vinegar and some soy sauce and the nori, and I just let people roll their own.
Oh, and let people roll their own, yes. That's very fashionable.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter how many people you have.
No.
You can just make whatever you want. And then a lot of times I make just that simple seaweed soup where you boil the seaweed just for 6 minutes in some water, and you add a tablespoon of miso per water, and then you have like a seaweed soup. And maybe I put walnuts in it, or I boil tofu in it, and then I just have a nice little quick meal.
That's very good. I have recently discovered, I can't say the name of the seaweed, but it's the one that when it comes out, it's just bright green and in little threads.
Oh.
And that on sushi is to die for.
Huh.
So you make a sushi exactly as you're describing, and then add that seaweed on top of it. Oh, that's so
that
good.
Would be nice.
I do like this bit. One slight variation that I do know that it was very popular in Japan, about 4 years ago, was to use lettuce leaves. And you have a pile of those lettuce leaves that you've taken off of a head of lettuce. And you use that instead of the nori sheets, and you put the sushi inside of a lettuce leaf, which is kind of Vietnamese, but the Japanese were doing it very much. And they also did this party bit, which, you know, seems very, very anti-sushi bar, which is so careful and so exact. But I do like making my own. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
And it's nice because it doesn't matter how many guests.
Exactly.
You know, you can have it left over, or you can, you know, just add more people to
it. Yep. That'll do it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
It seems to me also that in the last couple of years, I've started to see more suggestions that you could use lettuce leaves like you would a tortilla.
Yes.
And roll things in that.
That's very Vietnamese. To have the lettuce leaves and some steak or like fajitas, and you mix those together and you eat them as a quickly made finger food. Mm. But yes, I like that.
Mm-hmm. To Covington, Indiana, line two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I just had a quick comment for you about dandelions.
Yes.
In the April May issue of Mother Earth News, there's a whole article about it.
Oh.
And a really good article about dandelions and the edible parts and everything. And actually, there's some sources entering buy your own seeds to cultivate them yourself.
Uh-huh.
If you wish to. And actually, the roots are edible and they can even be ground into a coffee substitute.
Yeah, that's like chicory roots were, yes.
Yeah. Well, I just have a lot of them in my yard and stuff. But I just want to tell people if they want to do it, just make sure that the yard hadn't been sprayed with any herbicide or
anything. Yeah, that is something to watch.
But anyway, I just want to make that comment. But it's a real interesting article they had in the most recent Mother Earth News.
Great.
Oh, thank you for your show.
Well, thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, that would be – oh, I'm sorry. I cut the man off. My apologies. That would be one way – if you got dandelions, that would be one way to get rid of them. Eat them instead of worrying about trying to spray them with something or, you know, whatever you're going to do.
I remember my colleague and friend Billy Morrow Jackson making wine out of them.
Well, I've certainly always have heard of dandelion wine.
Oh, it's good.
I have not. So what's it like?
It's very complex because all you use is the blossom. And then you have to pull the green part off of the blossom. So you've got just the yellow and all of it. And then that becomes the material that is, in a sense, the mash, you know, that you then let ferment. And it is well, I'd almost say kind of a light Alsatian wine,
really?
a little flavor, but light. That's a white wine. Good taste.
We have a minute or two left, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Was there another recipe?
There was another recipe,
get?
which at least it's just it's the attitude. This is the one that won a big prize in Cook's Country. It is a garden pesto dish, and I'll just give we'll print this often, but it's almonds and basil and parsley and plum tomatoes that you've seeded and capers and anchovies and garlic cloves, red pepper flakes and pecorino cheese, lemon juice, and olive oil. That's a lot of stuff, but it all fits together. Mm-hmm. And she just won a big prize on this particular recipe. It was a thought that I had because there it is. There's nothing. You make the pesto. You've got and you've got the pasta put together, and it seems to be a little bit different direction than usual, and that's the one that sort of inspired me to think about this today, her garden pesto sauce. So we'll have that recipe done. I'll make sure that that's in.
And again, yes, we'll go to our – it might take us – so please be patient with us because it might take us a little bit of time to get them on there, but eventually it'll be on our website. Go to willwill.illinois .edu, and you can look there, look on our website, go to – click on AM, click on Focus 580, click on links, and the recipes are there. And we're up to date as far as the last show, but it's going to take us for a while.
We'll get there. Speaking of pestos, how about walnuts and parsley? Just walnuts and parsley. Mm-hmm. And the value of this one is that the walnuts provide polyunsaturated fat, and the olive oil offers monounsaturated fat. I mean, you got a pretty good combination there. But walnuts and olive oil and lemon juice and black pepper and garlic cloves, and that's all there is to it.
Now, this doesn't have any cheese in it.
No. Oh. No. Uh-huh. And and parsley, the flat leaf parsley leaves, and chop all that up. And that's kind of another direction of pesto. You know, it always makes me laugh. Pesto comes from the fact that you're supposed to mash it. You know, it's meant to be made in a mortar and pestle.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
And that's where paste pesto comes from. But we have employed the Cuisinart and have made it into something a little bit different. But I sure do like it. But think about those changes. You'll see these recipes come along when you.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm thinking about is, you know, for those people who are discouraged about the kind of tomatoes that you can buy during the wintertime, so somewhere along the line we discovered just how good the little ones, either the grape tomatoes that you like or cherry tomatoes,
Yes.
actually have some flavor They have some acidity to them. They have a nice balance of sweetness and acidity. They're nice. They're juicy. They're crisp. You can do all kinds of things with them. This is a really good thing. So if you go there and you're looking at these pathetic things that claim to be tomatoes that you get there in the wintertime, look at these other ones. You can do all kinds of things with them, and my feeling is, at least, that they really have good flavor.
They do, and you know, every time I come across those baby grapes, an alarm goes off in my head. Mm-hmm. I know I've told this story before, but I love it because it's part of my legend. I was in the sixth grade, I think, and Mother sent me to the store to get some little pear tomatoes, the little yellow ones. And I got the box. By the time I got home, there were none left. And I just couldn't stop eating them. I was just munching them on the way home.
So what did you say to your mother when she said, "Son, where are the tomatoes?"
You know what? I don't recall a big brouhaha about something. It was just a matter of, well, that's where they went and they're gone.
You didn't have to make up a story about being mugged by
I'm sure I must have apologized, and I think I was very surprised when I realized that indeed I had eaten all of them, and we didn't have what I wanted very much, which was the sauce that she made a sweet pepper kind of jam out of them.
Uh-huh.
And I have always loved that. But I can't munch on a cherry tomato without remembering that whole experience. And, of course, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to stop there for this time around. We've used the time. Again, if you go to our website, it's will.illinois.edu, and go to the Focus 580 section. You can see recipes from past programs. And just as quickly as we possibly can, we'll get those from this time around up. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence, he's here first Wednesday every month. So next time it's going to be May.
It'll be May.
It better be spring by then.
I'll be here in May, but I ain't going to be here in June.
All right. Well, we'll do something.